Our Letters from Camp Training Camp podcast is brought to you by Bella Construction, a five-star home improvement contractor proudly serving the Pittsburgh area for over 20 years. Visit mybellaroof.com and request a quote today. It is our first Bella Construction Breakfast with Ben's podcast from St. Vincent College in Latrobe. Steelers training camp underway out here in Westmoreland County for the first time in 2 years. Good to be back, and I think a little meat on the bone for day number one, at least football-wise, and it's got to do with Najee Harris, one of last year's stars, the rookie running back out of Alabama, who got 381 touches in his first season. And you might think, for a rookie to get that many opportunities, that Harris would be a little territorial when it came to the discussion about reeling back those attempts, both in terms of the run game and the pass game for Harris. After all, I think that makes a lot of sense. Yes, he's a great player. Yes, I do think he was an excellent draft choice. But you have an NFL running back take that many carries and that many pass receptions, 74 of them, you're essentially playing Russian roulette. It's not just about wear and tear. It's not just about Harris breaking down with more carries. It's also about the increased opportunities for a cataclysmic season-ending injury, a big hit to a knee, a tear of a ligament, a bad break of an ankle, or something like that. And the Steelers have to be smarter when it comes to overloading him. Again, not just from a productivity standpoint, an erosion standpoint per carry, but just reducing the number of opportunities where he can get blown up, like we saw with Le'Veon Bell towards the end of the 2014 season when he was fantastic throughout that year but took a hit on his knee late and missed the playoffs. And of course, they lost to the Baltimore Ravens that year in the postseason at Heinz Field. But Harris talked about that this afternoon as the Steelers reported here on Tuesday at St. Vincent College. I asked him about the discussion when it comes to reeling back his workload, scaling back his touches, and whether or not it would be wise to do that by way of introducing a second running back to the workflow, or if that should be done through more pass attempts to Pat Freiermuth, a tight end, or wide receivers in the pass game. And Harris likes the idea of incorporating a second back.
It's just being smart. There's some plays where if you watch my film, I get somewhat tired, and then, you know, those aren't my best plays. I mean, we have a good understanding of what to prepare for this year.
And sure, that'd be great if the Steelers could find one. They got Jeremy McNichols from the Tennessee Titans as they were reporting to training camp. He's a guy who played the last 2 years in Tennessee, totaled 360 yards rushing in those two seasons with the Titans, caught 40 passes for an average of 47 yards. So it strikes me that he's somebody that is just there to push Benny Snell, to be insurance if Benny Snell should get hurt, if Mateo Durant, the intriguing undrafted free agent running back out of Duke, should not rise to the level that a lot of people are hyping him up to be, if Anthony McFarland doesn't round into form. But I'm not looking at McNichols and seeing a legit number two guy that they're going to weave into the offense frequently. I just don't think that's how Tomlin is viewing this player acquisition. We'll see. I could be wrong, but this is Mike Tomlin we're talking about. This is Mr. Run him until the wheels fall off. Whether it's Willie Parker or Rashad Mendenhall or Le'Veon Bell or James Conner, if Tomlin has a good back enjoying a good season, that back is going to be a workhorse, as was the case with Najee Harris last year. And the second back on the depth chart is just going to be used in specialty situations or in injury relief. So maybe the answer to lightening the load for Harris is about Tomlin figuring out ways to incorporate other offensive weapons instead of conning himself into believing that he can find and will ever use a viable second back. The better answer, I think, is probably to have the Steelers use other offensive weapons more often, especially in the pass game. Because, like I pointed out, 74 of Harris's touches were pass receptions, and that's in Le'Veon Bell territory. And, you know, Bell was renowned as a great pass-catching running back during his time in Pittsburgh. His last 2 years with the Steelers, he had 75 receptions in 2015 and 85 in 2016. It's great that Harris has the ability to be a reliable target out of the backfield. The difference is, though, Harris only averaged 6.3 yards per catch, many of which were dump-offs and checkdowns in the Steelers' notoriously short, quick-release pass game during Ben Roethlisberger's last season of 2021. And much like was the case when he would get a handoff and the offensive line would get blown up, Harris was often getting smacked by defenders before he had a chance to even make a move. Bell averaged 8.2 yards per catch for his career, and far more often than Harris, Bell would run designed routes where he was a primary target in open space. If the Steelers find ways to get Harris the ball in that manner more often, wonderful. You know, then he can catch the ball and deliver a blow instead of catching the ball and absorbing a big hit from a linebacker or safety or something like that. I think Harris could thrive with those chances. Still, the goal should be to get the ball downfield more often to an intriguing group of young receivers that include Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool and George Pickens, the rookie from Georgia. Increased pass attempts to them will alleviate some of the hits on Harris's body, not to mention tight end Pat Freiermuth, who, like Harris, had a great first season, I thought, with the Steelers and is entering a second campaign where I think a lot more will be asked of him, especially now that Eric Ebron isn't atop the depth chart, as was the case to start last year until Freiermuth quickly grabbed that job. In fact, here's Freiermuth speaking on Tuesday during reporting day, not only about perhaps lightening the load on Harris a bit, but also how he views the tight end in the second year of Matt Canada's offense.
We need to protect Najee as much as possible, but obviously, you know, the more he gets the ball, the more plays he makes and more electric he is in our offenses. So I mean, I think it's a little bit of both.
Have you gotten a sense in year two here how much Matt Canada might want to use the tight end more at all, a little bit more, a little bit less?
I mean, not really much of a sense of. I mean, we'll find out the next couple of days, but I think he's obviously looking for us to be there a lot more.
Now, keep these numbers in mind when evaluating the Steelers' offense from last year. It totaled 664 pass attempts, fourth in the National Football League, but it averaged only 6.1 yards per attempt, the third lowest in football. In terms of total numbers of offensive plays run, the Steelers had 1,113, ninth most in the league, but the average yardage was only 28th at 4.8 yards per snap. Claypool, actually, I think offered the best solution on Tuesday. He suggested dialing up big play attempts more often, increase the yards per snap, shorten the number of plays needed to score, decrease the opportunities for opposing defenders to tee off on Harris.
We all think that he was not essentially overworked, but he had, you know, such a big impact on our games that, you know, we leaned a lot on him, and we got to take some of that off him by, like I said, making those plays happen. So we don't have 15 play drives all the time that, you know, it's like five play drives and a score every now and then.
You know, and while we're at it, I wouldn't just stop there with what Claypool is saying, although he makes a lot of sense. Dare we suggest, now that Roethlisberger is retired, the occasional quarterback scramble or designed run. After all, Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett and even Mason Rudolph all run significantly better than Roethlisberger did by the end of his career. All that said, Harris still thinks the traditional approach of working a second back into the mix more often is the way to diminish his own wear and tear.
I think it should be a second back. You know, there was a new back, and we're just trying to find, you know, somebody else in the role.
To Claypool's point, and likely Tomlin's tendencies, the method matters here. The goal shouldn't be simply to put a highly talented weapon like Harris on the bench more often just to give lesser backs more attempts. If the Steelers do find a worthy backup to Harris, so be it. But until that player emerges or is acquired from another team, I agree with Claypool. The best way to avoid putting Harris in harm's way so frequently in 2022 should be to spread the ball around more frequently and to do so more aggressively with more of a downfield approach. All right, that'll do it for our first Letters from Camp podcast today from St. Vincent College in Latrobe. Tomorrow, we'll look at the defensive line with Larry Ogunjobi coming aboard, Tyson Alualu coming back to action. How will they deploy those guys as the Steelers try to get over the departure of Stephon Tuitt, who has retired from professional football? We'll hear from Cam Hayward and Ogunjobi and Mike Tomlin on all those topics coming up tomorrow here on the Bella Construction Letters from Camp podcast.